Welcome back to the Shifting Schools podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Udick, as my co-host, Tricia Freeman, is off this week at a conference in Europe. Each week, our goal is to bring you an enlightening conversation with thought leaders in and out of the educational field as we focus on preparing students for their future, not our past. If this is the first episode of Shifting Schools you've stumbled across, welcome. And you find yourself in the middle of a series we are doing on talking to experts in different industries and how they are using AI or how AI is changing the industry they are in. Today, I have a conversation with Pete, co-founder of the Neuron Newsletter, a treasure trove for anyone intrigued by the fast-evolving world of AI. In this episode, we'll explore how Pete and Noah started the newsletter, the Neuron, during the height of AI enthusiasm, how they are using AI to streamline their newsletter, and the broader implications of AI in education and content creation at large. Get ready for an engaging discussion that blends technical insight with practical applications for educators moving forward. Of course, longtime listeners of the podcast know we have been all about AI for just about a year now. Tricia is currently doing sessions at a conference on AI. I just got back from two conferences where I was doing trainings on AI to school leaders, HR directors, and support staff in schools. We're finding that AI is touching every job and career in some way. With that, we understand that education must think about how we are preparing students today for a future of AI tomorrow. Of course, we know that AI is impacting educators as well, and we're here to help and support any way we can. We have a ton of free resources for you at shiftingschools.com, as well as a few PD opportunities that are coming up that you might want to join. On April 9th, we will be doing a 75-minute webinar on AI-powered feedback and how educators can leverage AI in supporting students and getting feedback while they work on assignments. Also, on April 16th, 17th, and 18th, we're running a three-part webinar series on three strategies for AI literacy. This three-part series will cover how you can take a human-centered approach to AI with our guide strategy. This goes beyond theory and sets you up with actionable learning activities to employ. Then we'll dive into how to use AI to bolster executive functioning and emotional literacy with your students, and we'll share ready-to-roll templates that your students can use immediately. Lastly, we dig into our why strategy for merging media information and AI literacy into engaging learning experiences that help students zoom out and think about their role in shaping a bright future for themselves with AI. You're not going to want to miss any of these webinars coming in April, so head over to shiftingschools.com today, and don't forget to use that discount code SSPOD25 at checkout to save $25 for being a podcast listener. Of course, if you can't join us live, all of these webinars will be recorded, and you will get access to them as well. Now, before we get to today's future forward conversation, here's a quick word from today's show sponsors. Discover the power of acknowledgement with Libra. In a world where every staff member's dedication shapes the future, recognizing their efforts becomes our mission. Libra transforms your school into a place where achievements, big and small, are celebrated daily, creating a ripple effect of motivation and pride. Join the recognition revolution with Libra, where every achievement is a cause for celebration. For more information and a free demo, contact me at jeff@shiftingschools.com today. All right, with that, here is Pete, co-creator of the Neuron Newsletter, a newsletter that focuses on the fast-paced changing landscape of AI. I hope you enjoy. And with that, on with the show. All right. Welcome back to the Shifting Schools podcast. I'm so excited today to be here with Pete from The Neuron, one of just an amazing newsletter that is free. I want to just point that out because every educator should probably just go over and sign up for it now. Full warning, it's a little bit geeky, but if you're a geeky person like me, it's a great, great newsletter. Pete, welcome. Welcome to the show. And maybe just talk first about you co-produce this daily newsletter. Can we start with just the origin of the idea and how did The Neuron get started?
Totally. Well, Jeff, first, thanks for having me. It's great to be here and to get to talk about AI with you. The Neuron has been such a journey for me over the last, call it 15 months. So my business partner, Noah, and I started this in January of 2023. It was sort of in the midst of all this ChatGPT hype. So ChatGPT came out at the tail end of November of 2022.
Right.
And I think in those first months, it was just people very quickly were freaking out about what was going to happen in AI, if you remember those months.
Yeah.
And so I think Noah and I independently had both been doing some online content work, and we were exploring different topics at the time, and then eventually started to experiment with what a newsletter looks like with AI. And mostly this was, as with many newsletter products, starts with an email to a group of friends or some family members or people who are curious. And we use it as a way of just getting into the motion of like, okay, if there was a daily newsletter about AI, like what actually works? What do people want? What does the tone sound like? And you know, we had a few practice reps over the course of January and February.
Wow.
And I remember when we first started, we had said something like, look, if we can get 10,000 readers, by end of March of 2023, then, you know, then we'll kind of continue with it and turn this into a proper thing.
Something.
Yes, exactly. And we got there in like 3 weeks or something.
Wow.
It was the tension around AI, even certainly today still, but even back then, was just peak. It was furious, I would say. And everyone was just scrambling for information. And so we just wanted to see if we can provide a fun, digestible, accessible version of that, and added, you know, our editorial style and our voice and our perspective in that. So it's been a lot of fun to get to talk about AI every day and get to be in people's inboxes.
Yeah. Now, did you and Noah know each other before this, or did you meet each other on the internet? Like, how did this come to be?
Yeah. So we did actually know each other briefly before this. So, he's actually, currently a university student. He's a junior. And we both went to the same university.
Okay.
There's an entrepreneurship organization, that I know the executive director of, through just comings and goings in tech events in San Francisco. And then he's part of that organization. And, you know, we both, sort of crossed paths over the course of doing content stuff. But I think a year prior to this, and then, when I was searching for someone to work on this, potentially with, I thought about Noah and we meshed. And as soon as we got on the phone and started talking about this idea, and so that's the story of us starting to work together.
Awesome. Well, talk a little bit about where are we, like just what are you hearing big picture wise around this idea of AI? You talked about in January, February, it was just like all of a sudden, like it came out of nowhere. You know, ChatGPT literally felt like it came out of nowhere. And we all know like it'd been working on for a long time, but it literally felt like this like bomb got dropped on us all. And it was like, we were scrambling. People are scrambling to understand, what does this mean? What's going on? You know, here we are in the spring of 24. What's kind of the feeling? What's your feeling around AI? What are we seeing?
Yeah, so I would say the last year has been super interesting because it definitely warps your perception of how much change is like acceptable in a year. There was this time where I would say the first half of 2023, a lot of lofty expectations for a tool like ChatGPT of like, oh, this is the future and it's going to disrupt so much. And then the second half of 2023, I think, was a little quieter. I think certainly a lot of things got better in terms of its capability. But I think the very lofty expectation of widespread job replacement didn't quite land, which I think is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
But we sort of landed in a zone where for most people, AI was not really that useful by the end of 2023, where it was helping you write your lesson plans, or it was helping you write some blog posts or things like that. But it was maybe like helping with 10 to 30% of your job.
Mm-hmm.
And not in a sort of like widespread automation way. where you're sort of fully relying on AI to do something, right? It was very much sort of, okay, if I am doing some creative work and I need someone to bounce ideas off of, I'm going to go turn to ChatGPT to do that now instead of thinking out loud or writing on paper or something like that, right? So we're now in spring 2024. I think the landscape has changed quite dramatically, even in the last few months.
Okay.
I think there are a few things that are worth paying attention to. Number one is this projected future of endless, hyper-personalized, AI-generated content and media, I think is very real and going to be fully operational sometime in the next 1 to 2 years.
Wow, okay.
The video generation models coming out from OpenAI were a very, very big improvement from what we had seen previously. Now, it's not just like these 5 second pseudo animation clips. We're talking full minutes at a time of real animation. We're starting to see the ability for image models to create the same character over and over again, right? And so instead of just a one-off photo-like image, it is now, okay, now like we're talking about like AI influencers, right? Like you can create an entire Instagram profile with the same character and all these different styles and settings. So that's on like the more like consumer and entertainment and media side.
Yeah.
I just don't think we can really understand what's happening yet with the general sort of model capabilities that back something like a ChatGPT, because it's very clearly getting better and to the point where every new release is now opening up the set of use cases where we can fully start to use AI for some of this work. So as an example, the free version of ChatGPT back in, call it early 2023, I would not have trusted that model to replace a lot of my marketing language or anything customer facing where I can literally just copy and paste it and post it on the internet and someone would believe that that was fully written by a human, right?
Yeah.
Today, with the models that are available today, I could do that.
Yeah.
And so now we're going to start to see these sort of like full end-to-end sort of marketing processes, for example, completely automated by AI, right? So this idea that we're moving from this, I'm going to help you with 10 to 30% of your work to I'm going to outright replace the human sort of in the loop for 10 to 30% of your work, maybe even more, is starting to become more feasible, right? Because these models are becoming, becoming more capable.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a matter of time before it really becomes a sort of widespread deployment of things, right?
And do you see this idea, because this is one of the things, especially in education, that I see just becoming like a game changer, is this idea of instead of, you know, we're constantly, and you hear all this focus on these large language models. And I mean, what I'm seeing and what I see the power of specifically, and not just in education, but I see this in every industry, I think, is this idea that we are going to create, you know, customized GPTs that do some, that do one task and do it really well. For example, like we're coming out with AIs now in education that are just really good at creating amazing lesson plans. Like they know every standard that we need to hit. They know project-based learning and the UDL format. And like, you can just, you ask it and it will, and again, it's not 100%. We're not 100% there, but it'll get you 80%, 90% of the way there, which is, and within 10 seconds, right?
Yeah.
Do you see this kind of like, do you see this kind of as the future as well? Like these custom, like instead, I mean, ChatGPT will be the you know, we'll pull the API, but then people will be creating these highly customizable GPTs that are just really powerful for that one pain point that people have inside their job, inside their industry.
Totally possible. I definitely think for a certain number of use cases, that's the way to go.
Okay.
Generally speaking, so if we just step back for a second, I think the we just don't know from an R&D perspective whether or not from a model perspective, right? Like certainly all these big model companies are trying to make one big model that can do is just generally capable, right?
Yeah.
And I think there's still a little bit of debate about whether or not that is the future, or do we have smaller specialist models that are trained to do that one extra thing, right? Now, what you're saying is maybe a little bit different, which is it does sit on top of that one big model.
Right.
And as that base model improves, you can add on this sort of like pre-configured set of knowledge or context or these standards or formats or whatever it might be that is tailored and specific to that use case. And then as that model improves, you don't really have to change anything about how you've configured like this GPT.
Yeah.
It'll just come out with better and better output, right? Yeah. I think it depends on the task. And I think for something like this, I think this is where generally speaking, like the importance of skills and domain expertise is still incredibly relevant, right? Just even knowing what that domain feels like and what are the major requirements and what even exists out there. Only an educator knows how to build that GPT for a lesson plan, right? Yeah. Only they know all the different standards and kind of what really goes in there. Everyone else on the outside is just frankly guessing.
Yeah.
But I could totally see how that is the future, where you increasingly are just leaning on these individual GPTs for those individual tasks. Now, again, there are some tasks where you don't need that, right? Like if it is just something as simple as like, oh, write me an opening paragraph to this thing. And maybe that's just it, right? You don't need a GPT to kind of repeat that command. But as you get more tailored and you're expecting more of these like more nuanced outputs, especially when you're following standards, we can totally see how that is the preferred way of using AI.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Well, can you talk a little bit, like you're all about AI. How is AI being leveraged within the Neuron, within the company, within your newsletter? Can you maybe talk to people about just how are you leveraging it in your own work that you're doing to produce all this?
Totally. You know, it's fun because I think we get to use our operation, which, look, writing a newsletter is not that hard from a process perspective, right? It's not like we have, it's not like we have a manufacturing line or we're not dealing with physical right. goods, like all that kind of stuff. We are, you know, we're two guys with laptops and sort of, we kind of comb the news and we write every day and we sell some ads and that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
It's a relatively simple operation, but it is a very good testing ground for us to carve out little pieces of work just to see what's possible.
Right? Yeah.
So as an example, one of the things that we've been playing around with is, in our newsletter, we customize our images. So we might take a graph from somewhere or a screenshot from somewhere on the internet, but we try to decorate it in the Neuron style. And so tactically that means, okay, there's like an orange border that follows our color theme. And then we add a little few icons or whatever it is. And then we notice over time that that customization for the images is the exact same over and over again. Mm. And theoretically, it's not that you need an AI to customize those images, but it would be nice if someone wrote a piece of code where you can upload the image and then immediately get spat out that version instead of having to go to Canva every time and kind of drop something in and sort of like click the same buttons.
And you're starting to think of this as a repetitive task, that there's got to be some way, because it's a task that can be replicated over and over again. Right. There's got to be some way to, like, I can see the, like, there's got to be something out there. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And keeping in mind, again, that we're two people, like, when we do, one of the things that happens is as we repeat tasks every single day, sometimes we just mess them up because we're too used to doing it.
Right. That's
so like, true. We can miss a link, or sometimes the image just isn't formatted correctly. And so automating these things is a matter of quality control for us as much as it is about saving time. Right. And so one of the things we get to do in, if we talk about this specific use case is, well, we can say, okay, we're going to write that piece of code. We're going to have AI do it. And we're going to use this as an excuse to test the latest state of what it means to have code written about AI. What is that experience for us, right?
Yeah.
I happen to have studied computer science at some point, but I was never a production sort of like software engineer at a tech company. And so I'm sort of like the perfect sort of test candidate for this. Where I'm literate enough to go and figure out how to get the code running and all that kind of stuff. And
I call it literate enough to be dangerous. That's what I always say. I know enough to be dangerous.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so I was doing this last night, right? Like I was saying, I was in Claude 3. I was saying, okay, like here's the use case. Like I want you to write the code. I'm going to be using this tool called Replit to run the code and host the application. Let's just see what happens. Right? Yeah. Let's just see what happens. And so it's things like that, that we, again, get to use the newsletter as a playground for. What we have found in terms of solid use cases, everyone always asks us, do you use AI to write the newsletter? The answer is no. If you read the newsletter, it's like one of those where it kind of just feels like only a human can write it. And that's sort of like our approach for now.
Yeah.
It's not this sort of like AI generated summary type of approach. But what we do use it for that has been actually kind of interesting and sort of unexpected use case for something like this is these individual line edits where we have this restriction on the newsletter where it cannot be more than 750 words end to end for the email.
That includes, and that's your own restriction. Like, you've just made that your restriction.
That's right. And that's just in the interest of keeping this consumable for everyone. Like, when we say it's going to take you 2-3 minutes to scroll through every day, that's what we mean, right? Yeah. Like, it's not 2-3 minutes and then it ends up being 10 minutes or 15 minutes or whatever it is. And so we say 750 words, and sometimes we have these explanations that are just a little bit too long, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's 2 or 3 sentences, and we just know there's a way to say it in one sentence. It's very pithy, but we just can't seem to get it. Mm-hmm. We will use something like a Claude or a ChatGPT or something like that, and we'll upload our previous styles that have, we think, are well-edited examples. And we'll say, like, okay, here's the current line. Can you just find a few different versions of this that tighten the language? And we'll save something like 10 or 15 words on that, right? Yeah. So these are like small things that actually end up taking a lot of creative power, because otherwise we're sitting there and it's like 11 p.m. at night. And we're like, oh my gosh, can we find like the 7th version of this little paragraph here? And we're tired and we want to go to bed. And we're like, okay, let me just see if we can kind of get some help with this. And that ends up being quite useful. So it's a collection of all these like very small moments that I think add up to a lot of save time.
I love that. I love that. Let's talk about education for a little bit. And I know you're not an educator, but you know, we've got a bunch of kids in high school who are going through their educational system where all of a sudden AI has come out, plagiarism. Like, all of a sudden it was, I mean, in our world in education, you're talking about, like, you know, January, February, we thought this thing was going to go, you know, this thing was going to replace every job. We thought every kid was going to plagiarize. We thought everything was going to be plagiarized, and come to find out it didn't. Mm-hmm. Right. And kids have actually, I would say, for the most part, and the research from Stanford actually backs this up, that the kids that were cheating before AI are the same kids that were cheating after AI. And we haven't seen this spike in cheating, like, that it just didn't happen to all of our fears. But at the same time, AI is now a part of our lives in education. It's part of our lives just here. And our job is to prepare kids for their future. What would you be, what are you thinking about when we think about like a 15, 16 year old today? What are things that in education you think we have to start wrapping our heads around to prepare them for this world as they leave our K-12 education system?
Totally. It's such a big question.
Yeah.
I have two big reactions. The first one I'll mention that is like a little bit unrelated to your question is simply the classroom and learning experience is going to change quite a bit. One of the things I remember reading about early on was Khan Academy had built this
Amigo.
Amigo, that's right. And just to see their takeaway, which is, it was something as simple as kids who were shyer felt more open to asking questions than they normally would have in without that chatbot.
Yeah.
That feels compelling, right? Like that feels like a meaningful change in that learning experience. And then you add on all these things where, like, I haven't seen this rolled out en masse yet, but like these always on, you know, AI tutors, like, you know, this sort of like democratizing of one-to-one tutor access, all that kind of stuff, I think is going to be pretty significant. When it comes to the question of preparing for the future, there's a part of me that believes that this will force us to really question what is the point of the education to begin with, you know?
Yeah.
And I think over the last, just from again, like average person point of view,
I feel
like a lot of education was, we were swinging quite hard in the pre-professional route everywhere.
Right.
And it was all about these sort of like practical skills. And some of it is very useful knowledge, right? Like some of it is very useful training. And then some of it, I think, was maybe a little bit too far in that direction, perhaps. Mm. And I think it really forced us to confront, like, how do we actually feel about just like generalist sort of education, where it's like you do need to know how to read and write and communicate your thoughts and be good at math and all these things, even again, if you don't do those things afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like how we treated it with like calculus, right? Like, I've never used calculus after university or high school, but the process of learning it was important, right? Like, I see parallels in the calculus concepts in daily life. Yes.
Yeah.
But treating as a practical skill is like a completely different exercise, right? Mm. So I think generally speaking, the job landscape, and I get a few emails about this every week through the newsletter. We talk about, you know, in the newsletter, prompt engineering was like billed as the hot new thing for all of last year.
Yeah.
Like, you need to learn prompt engineering. And frankly, like, I don't even know if that's true, because a lot of AI companies themselves are starting to automate prompt engineering. Like, they're having AI write your prompts for you. And so then you're like, okay, what's the point of a prompt engineer? And I think this raises the general question of like, okay, so what are the things that are going to be really important? I don't know. I don't think anybody knows, frankly. Yeah. Because I think we're just still in this mode of like dramatic expansion and exploration of what are all the different ways that the AI can be used, and then therefore sort of reevaluating, excuse me, what the human-led job description looks like.
Yeah.
But I have to believe that like these core skills, there's sort of a reason why none of those have declined in importance throughout the history of man, basically.
Right.
Like, ever since education has become a thing, a lot of the same sort of like the core topics have remained useful. Now, again, are we in a different era? Potentially, we are in a different era, right? Like the leverage that you're getting from these AI powered tools and these AI models, it is unlike anything that we've seen before.
Yeah.
But then again, in absence of a strong prediction of like, here's exactly what we should do as a reaction, you kind of, it feels like a strong argument to kind of fall back on what we've seen work in the past as well. Right.
Yeah. 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 And I am constantly trying, I mean, cause this is the job I do as an educational consultant, right. Is supporting these schools and trying to navigate this on, well, yes, it writes essays at a 10th or an 11th grade level, like yawning, like it did that in version 3, like it's just, and they're just getting better essays. Right. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be thinking about, okay, well, what is the skill then of writing an essay? Like, why do we write essays? And as somebody who's writing a newsletter, right, there's still this skill of, you know, the idea of your voice. And I love that, because it's one of the things I've been talking to with educators is this stuff will write whatever you want it to write, but it doesn't have your voice. It doesn't have the voice of a human. Like, you can very quickly tell. And I think most people are getting better and better as more and more info comes out on whether or not this was really like, what's the human touch that has been given to the output? Is it just been a copy paste, or has there been human influence, right? Or human empowered on the output of this to make this more? But this idea of voice, which I think is something that you talked about in the neuron, like you don't want to turn it over, because there is your voice. Like, you guys have your voice of the newsletter, and no matter what you try at this point anyway, I mean, we're getting to a point where you could probably get pretty close to it, mm-hmm. but you're probably still going to want to oversee that. You're going to want to make sure it does sound like you. But this idea of just the human, I don't know what it is, the human input of our voice, our nature, our feeling, the way that we structure things, it's just not there yet. And I don't know if it ever will be, or if that's something we want to give up. I don't know.
Yeah. This is particularly interesting for me, because look, we're in the business of essentially capturing and retaining your attention in some shape or form, right? Like, we are in the media and information business. That is what we do. And we've seen newsletters fully automate the whole thing. And I know exactly how they're doing it, because their intro paragraph is exactly like what you would get from ChatGPT if you made no special customizations or anything.
Yeah.
And the stats tell everything, right? Like, people know when that content has been fully AI generated.
Yeah.
As just to kind of go into our business a little bit, right? Like, having 50% of your people open your email every day is like pretty darn excellent, right?
Yeah, it's unbelievably excellent.
You get to like 40-45%, it's like good. That's like a good or great sort of open rate. A lot of these AI generated newsletters very quickly saw their open rate tail towards like 25-30%. Because people were just like, well, what is this? Like, this is just like, this is spam, basically. And there's something about, like, people can tell, and that has everything to do with I would say the death of corporate brand led communications, the rise of the individual, like all these things that have been happening outside of AI, but it is exacerbated by AI, right? Because if you just think about all the different, how much more supply of content is out there immediately, just on release of ChatGPT, right? Like, immediately you should be expecting 1,000x more content in the world than exists today. What is the thing that gets you? Well, it is voice. It is having a stance. It is having an opinion, having real persona, a sense of humor, and all these different things.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be important, right? And again, back to the original question of like if it's voice that is important, what are the things like voice and that end up being important? Certainly, knowing how to communicate is one thing, right? Like writing a newsletter, you get a lot of practice focusing on what people hear and not what you say, right? Yeah. Like that is an exercise that I don't think landed well with me when I was in high school. I didn't really know what that meant.
Yeah.
Things like knowing how to describe your work and really like think about and outline what exactly is the thing that you're doing.
Yeah.
It's hard, right? Like it is a very hard exercise when you're sort of just told to do the thing that you do, and then all of a sudden you pull back, you're kind of like, okay, but why? And like, why is this, like, what is the actual step-by-step here? These sorts of things become important, right? These are starting to emerge as sort of like important meta skills.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely on the lookout for more of these as we continue to watch all this, right? It'll be really important to shape all these skill sets moving forward.
Was English something you were like, was it your thing in high school?
No,
like I love this because, you know, I mean, maybe you can talk a little bit about like your own, like, did you ever see yourself running a newsletter with 400,000 plus subscribers around something that even when you were in high school, like we weren't thinking of AI, you know, and just like, I love because I think a lot of times, you know, we do have students that listen to this podcast too, where they're just like, well, I would never do that because I don't like to write, or I'm not in English, or I'm not. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of talk about like what's your story, or and maybe Noah's too, if you know it? How'd you get here?
Yeah. I'll speak for myself because I'm not too sure of like Noah's step-by-step reactions. I was always a math and science kid.
Okay.
Like I was, I loved math. I was like ahead. I skipped grades in math. Like I viewed everything through the lens of rules, basically.
Yeah.
Like even when I was learning Spanish, I was like, oh, this is kind of like chemistry because of like, all these like grammar rules that like mostly fit like what's going on, and they have like these weird exceptions, just like how some like some chemicals have like weird exceptions and all that kind of stuff. And I was pretty much like that through college as well. I did study political science and computer science, so it was a little bit of both. I think for me, what I really got to was all of my work outside of university. So I was a strategy consultant for a couple of years. And did a lot of work on the sales and marketing side at a few startups before starting this.
Yeah.
And there was something about this general idea of, I just kept on noticing something, which is that most people can only hear what they say, and they never really hear what people like receive the message as. And when I started to focus on this of like communication is like a two-way thing, right? Every message that you send has to be received by someone. But what happens if you solely focus on the way that a message is received?
Sure.
And you can kind of flex the way that you say things. I think changes how you communicate things. And you start to notice, you start to consume content differently, right? Like whenever these days when I'm on like TikTok or Instagram Reels or whatever, I often spend more time analyzing, well, why did this thing get so popular? What was it about it? And it starts to become like a science of attention thing. And so it starts to get a little bit sort of like full circle, where it is sort of like a math and science, sort of like there's a formula that I'm looking for, whatever it was. But there's something about writing that I thought was so clarifying. And it is such a joy to me to take something and place it into context and explain all the different things that I'm seeing of like, okay, yes, this is kind of one thing that we're seeing as a data point today, but it's related to all these different things that we've been talking about. And to make that make sense for people, that is interesting. And when you present that, that lands with people as like, I understand what's going on now, not just, I know that this thing happened. And so to get to do that, I think is just so much fun.
Yeah, that's so great. I love that. Well, as we get ready to wrap up here, where do we stand right now, in your opinion, with the AIs? Like, I was just over on the website and, of course, the newsletter and stuff. You've talked a little bit about Claude. Where's Claude compared to ChatGPT, compared to Gemini, that seems to be coming up quickly here, if they can ever get their they've paused it for reasons that people can read the newsletter to figure out why. Well, just where are you feeling right now? I mean, there's been a lot of talk. I know Claude 3 just came out, and about how it's maybe even better now than ChatGPT-4. Then I was reading an article like, yeah, but wait, ChatGPT-5 is coming out. Mm-hmm, and I don't know. So what's your feeling right now? Where are we with these? Like the three big players, I would call them those three.
Totally. So Jeff, not to bust up your sort of like back end sort of production process here. So just to let everyone know, we're recording this on Tuesday, March 12th. Yeah. And yes. to timestamp it is really important.
It's really important, yes.
Something could happen on Thursday.
And that's right.
Days
that's
from
right.
Now, like, yeah, it's so true. It, right? It's so true. The current state of play is Claude 3 at Claude.ai, made by Anthropic, is really freaking good. It is really good. And in all of our testing, we have this bank of content creation use cases that we use as sort of a barometer for creative work, right? Okay. So as an example, we were at some point teaching this course on content creation, and we had this prompt that would sort of write the beginnings of TikTok scripts for you.
Okay.
If you wanted to like start as a TikToker. And as you replicate that same test across the different chatbots, you get very wildly different results. ChatGPT, like the free version, is going to give you very bland, sort of unstructured. Some of it doesn't even make sense, like all that kind of stuff. And then Claude 3 gives you stuff that I would say actually on camera, or stuff that people actually came up with. And it matches this sort of creative tone that you really only see sort of naturally occurring in the wild, right?
Yeah.
And so was just so good on all of those different use cases. When we use it, we're like, oh gosh, this really feels like a pretty, pretty big step forward. And we would put that ahead of ChatGPT-4, the paid version today, also ahead of Google Gemini, mm-hmm. also ahead of Inflection Pi and all these different models that are out there. Now, to your point, I think the big speculation is anytime anyone has a big announcement, Google or Anthropic or whoever it is, OpenAI has something in their back pocket where they're sort of like ready to release it on command, basically. So there's a lot of rumblings of a new call. I think it might be a GPT 4.5 is the rumor that is expected to be a pretty big upgrade.
Yeah.
We will see. We will see. I think I've stopped sort of trying to predict the exact timeline. I think just I assume every 3 to 6 months is going to be something that feels.
Yeah, somebody's going to make an announcement about something.
Yes, exactly. It's going to come from somewhere. I don't really know where it is, but it's going to beat the latest and like all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So it's coming. Yeah. But that's probably like my current read of the current chatbot so far.
Well, maybe I need to go play with Claude more. I have not spent much time over there with Claude, so maybe I'll have to go give it a check out based on your recommendation.
Yes, but, go for it.
You know, for everybody listening, if you want to keep up on the latest of AI, if you want to hear what's going on, you need to head over to the Neuron, subscribe. Fantastic, fantastic newsletter. You guys do such a great job of curating and just to your point, your voice and the way, you know, and I didn't realize it's only 750 words, but part of the reason why I open it is because that, like, I know it's a quick read. I know it's going to give me exactly what I'm looking for. And so if anybody listening, if you're in this, if you want to kind of stay on top of it and you've only got 3 or 4 minutes a day, it's the perfect newsletter for that. So Pete, thank you so much for spending time with us here today. Is there any place else that people can reach out or people can follow you, other than signing up for the newsletter?
Yes. So you can find me on LinkedIn, Pete Huang, H-U-A-N-G, and then also on Twitter. I'm at non-mayor Pete.
Non-mayor Pete. I love that. Awesome. And we'll make sure those links are in the show notes for people as well. Pete, thanks so much for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Perfect, Jeff. Thanks so much.
As always, folks, thank you for tuning into the Shifting Schools podcast. I do want to let you know we received feedback from a few fellow listeners who were asking if Jeff and I were going to offer anything specific on AI and feedback. So we've taken your feedback on, and coming up this April, we are offering AI-fueled feedback. This is a 90-minute webinar on April 9th. We have it priced at an early bird rate from now until March 5th. So please head on over to the show notes, learn about our early bird rate and learning with Jeff and I this April. You can also find more on AI-fueled feedback by heading over to www.shiftingschools.com. Thanks for listening. See you next week.